Philippians chapter number 3. And we're go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter number 3. And we're going to look this morning and tonight at a couple passages of Scriptures that I have personally, or that have been personally, a blessing to my life. And so I hope it'll be an encouragement and blessing to you as well. And I hope that something will be said to challenge our hearts, especially this morning, that the topic that we're going to look at is a topic that if you're a true child of God this morning, is something that each and every one of us should be challenged daily with. And that's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter number 3, we'll start in verse number 3 and we'll read down to verse number 11 or 12 or so. The Bible says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law," or concerning the law, "a Pharisee," his position as a religious leader. "Concerning zeal, he went so far as to persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning. We stand in need of you just like every other day. I pray, God, that you would meet with us in a special and mighty way, that you would be with this message, that you would work in each and every one of our hearts and our lives. Help me to say exactly what needs to be said this morning. I pray, God, that you would have free course and liberty to work in every heart and in every life, especially if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior. May they recognize how important that relationship is with him. I pray, God, you'd work in our hearts and our lives as only you can. Use this time now. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Now here in chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul gives us a little background, or kind of like a testimony a little bit, of his life before meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was trusting in, what he had, as he uses the word here, confidence. All right. If you and I are a true born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you and I have confidence. We have confidence in Jesus Christ. We have confidence in the fact that he did exactly as he said he would do. The moment I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am confident that he did exactly what he said he would do. He saved me. I was dealing with a young teenage boy in our church just recently. I know you guys don't know a whole lot about my background, but for years as a teenager and even into my young adult years, even married years, I struggled with this thing of salvation. I struggle with assurance of salvation. I was kind of what I would call just a natural doubter, if I could put it that way. And I struggled time and time again. Well, there's a young man, or young boy, I should say, a teenage boy in our church right now, who's struggling very, very difficultly right now with whether or not he's truly born again. I can see it as clear as day that he's truly born again. He wouldn't these things wouldn't be going through his heart and his mind. He wouldn't have this struggle if he didn't care, if he didn't believe in God, if he didn't believe in Jesus Christ and all these different things. And he actually came to me. His parents told him, "We know Brother Aaron's situation. We know some of the struggles he had. Go to him and talk to him." And that was one of the things that I tried to help him understand, is if we will do what God said to do, he will do what he said he will do. We can have confidence in every word that's in this book. We can have confidence in the fact that God will do exactly as he promised he will do. So the Apostle Paul here gives a little background into what he found confidence in before meeting Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, his confidence in his connection with God, his confidence in the spiritual things in his life, the connection with his eternal future and so forth, all that confidence was built or based on or in the wrong source, in the wrong place. It was all in his flesh. It was all in what he could do personally to obtain salvation and a home in heaven and a security for eternity. And so he gives a brief description here of why he had such confidence in verses 5 and 6. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So to speak, if we were to look at the Apostle Paul and say, if anybody has it all together, it's that man right there. Saul of Tarsus, I should say. All right? He's basically saying here, if any one man had confidence in the flesh of what he was doing, it was me. I had all these things going for me. And now he realizes, because of meeting or being confronted with the truth on the road of Damascus, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, he recognizes now all those things he had confidence in was misplaced. He had all of it in the wrong place. When he met Jesus Christ and he's in that encounter on the road of Damascus, when he's confronted with the truth and he'd been struggling against those pricks in the heart and so forth, and he comes to the true realization of who his faith must be in, thankfully he places his faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer Saul of Tarsus, the one persecuting the church and so forth. He now becomes the Apostle Paul, who is the first missionary greatly used of God. And that's a wonderful thing, folks. Yeah. That change that takes place when you get it right, if I can put it that way, when you truly see your need of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you're willing to give up all these things that you might gain or win Christ, it's a wonderful transformation. That's something I've been teaching through in our Sunday school class at our home church, is that transformation that God does in your life and in mine the moment we get saved. He that hath begun a good work in you will continue it. He will faithfully continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that work he's begun in you is a work of sanctification. It's a work of transformation, if I might put it that way. And it's amazing how God transforms the Apostle Paul's life. But he gives us just a little bit of background here in these verses of what his confidence was in, and how now he counted all those things but loss that he might gain or that he might win the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here in this passage, he alludes to it, but the Jews in those days, and even still today, many of them believe that if you were to keep the law to the letter, that it would gain, or you would be declared righteous with God, that you would gain the righteousness that is in the law, and that it would declare you righteous in the sight of God, and you would gain eternal life by keeping the law, holding to it, doing everything you can perfectly. But they missed the point of the law. That wasn't the point. I mean, the law doesn't bring salvation, folks. What we do personally has no merit in salvation. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross, and how he paid the ultimate price, performed the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. They missed the point of the law. The point of the law is to prove or to show forth to us that we are sinners and we have an inability to perfectly keep the law without, we have the inability to live a righteous and holy life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law was to show people their need for the Savior. Now, Paul looks back over those things that he once counted as gain to himself. One, those things he had or found confidence or gave him such a level of confidence in concerning his spiritual life and eternity and so forth. He now says, those things that I once viewed as gain to me, I count them but loss. You know what he says? They're worthless.
Right.
Absolutely worthless. They did nothing for me. And he's recognizing that. They have no place in his life of importance anymore. They are but, as he uses the word, dung. I mean, you can't get any more stronger than that word right there. He's just simply saying, if I can put it this way, in a roundabout way, the Apostle Paul is saying, to trust in anything else, or to trust in self instead of Christ is nothing short of complete and utter foolishness. There is no confidence to be found in the flesh and what you and I can do in connection to salvation or the Christian life and so forth. It is by faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. In comparison to what Christ has done and what He's provided for all mankind, everything else, any other way that man may use to try to convince himself that they are fine with God and that they have an eternal home in heaven, in comparison to Christ, all of those other things are worthless. They have no merit for salvation. The Romanian people, as you know, largely speaking, the Romanian people are trusting in their good works. Many of them will tell you, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that He's the Son of God. The Greek Orthodox will tell you that He's the Son of God. But if you spend a little time talking with them, they care more about what the church fathers said than what the truth really is. Most of them never have read the Bible. Most of them, when you talk to them, say, do you have a Bible? Yeah. Have you read it? No. Why? Because even still today, just like way back when, like the Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox, they have a saying over there. I'm trying to think of how it goes in Romanian. Credeți și nu să nu cercetați. You say, what does that mean? Believe and search not. I heard a young man admit this in my presence. He was in the theological seminary over there training to become a priest, and he quoted that statement to us. Believe what has been said and do not search for yourself. They would rather know what the church fathers say than what God has said. You cannot have confidence in any of those things in connection to Christ and salvation. It is Christ and Christ alone. Right. It is faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul now clarifies and declares, I should say, that all those things that I found confidence once in my life, they are worthless to me now in comparison to Jesus Christ. He was gladly giving all those things up that he might gain Christ to himself. Yes, to gain the salvation that's freely offered, but to gain Christ himself. And we'll see that in just a little bit. Now, in this passage, there's a specific word that just kind of leaps off the pages to me, even though it's not actually written here. It kind of leaps off to the pages to me. And it's something that I believe the Apostle Paul is really trying to drive home to these Philippian believers. And I believe it's something that the Holy Spirit would want us to draw our attention to the same thing this morning. If we took the Christian life, the Christian experience, the Christian journey, we boiled it all down and we summed it all up in one word, what would that word we would choose to use be? More than likely, if we went around the room and we say, if you summed it all up into one word, what would that word be? You would more than likely say faith. And you wouldn't be wrong, and you'd get no arguments out of me on that. Even the Apostle Paul here in this passage stresses the importance of faith. I mean, faith is an essential part in the Christian life. We enter the Christian life by faith, and the Bible says we must walk by faith. We must continue. Every aspect of the Christian journey is by faith. We continue to have faith in God and His work in our hearts, in our lives. So I wouldn't argue and say you're wrong if you were to sum it up by one word, faith. But I see a different word here that the Apostle Paul is stressing here this morning. And let's look just at a few verses, and then we'll get into that word that I'm looking at this morning. In verse number 7, notice what he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse number 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse number 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then notice in verse number 10, that I may know Him. You say, why did you go through those verses and pinpoint those specific things in those verses. Because the Apostle Paul, I think, is stressing the importance of one word. If we were to boil it all down, sum it all up, the word I would choose to use this morning is relationship. It's all about a relationship with a specific person.
Amen.
With Jesus Christ. We are saved through Jesus Christ. And the Christian journey is all about this relationship between us and Him. He is stressing the importance over and over, I believe, stressing the importance of this relationship with Jesus Christ. He gladly gave up all those other things for Christ, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, to win, which means to gain Christ unto Himself. He counted all things but loss unto Himself that He might gain Christ to Himself. To gain, yes, the salvation and redemption of His own soul, but also, I believe, to gain a real and personal relationship with Christ. A relationship, by the way, that will define Him. A relationship that will change Him, that will so impact His life that transformation will be the product in His life. Christ was the object that Paul wished to gain. Yes, he saw his own personal need for salvation, but it goes deeper than that. He desired more than just salvation. He desired a real and personal daily relationship with Jesus Christ. He desired to know Him, as we'll see in a little bit, to know Him more than just as Savior. I'm afraid too often today, Christ is just a means to a saving end, even among Christians. We look at Him as nothing more than just our Savior. And don't get me wrong this morning. I don't want to make light the redemption plan of God. I don't want to make light what Christ has done for us in salvation. But Christ is more than just my Savior. I have a deeper relationship, or it goes beyond a deeper level than just Him being the saving one and me being the saved one. Our relationship with Christ should go much deeper than that, folks. And again, I'm not making light. I am thankful this morning to be saved. I am thankful that I recognize that I was a sinner and standing in need of Jesus Christ. I can go back in my mind right now. In fact, this is very interesting to me. Anyways, it might not be to you. But to me, my Sunday school class is meeting in the very room where I got my salvation settled. I'm standing almost in the exact spot every Sunday where I knelt and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for what Christ did for me. I am not making light of that this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to know Him in that manner. You need to know Him as your personal Savior. But I'm thankful that when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I received more than just salvation. I received a personal relationship with Him. Something that I should continue to grow in. All right? So he's more than just Savior. And it should be that way in our lives. Our relationship with Him goes much deeper than that. We should desire to know Him as friend, as counselor, as refuge, a place of hiding in time of need or a time of trouble. He should be known to us as our shield, our protector, our rock of defense, our high tower, and so many other wonderful things that the Bible tells us that He is in the life of every believer. So Paul, in my estimation, is stressing the fact that he was willing to give up all those things that so many people find very important. He was willing to give all those things up that he might gain Christ. Yes, gain salvation, but also gain that real and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 10 is where I really want to draw our attention to. This verse has been with me for many, many years. That I may know Him. That is the statement that the Apostle Paul makes about his own personal desire in this walk in relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. He says that I may know Him. All right. Paul was not just satisfied with giving up all things just to gain Christ and gain salvation and gain a relationship. It didn't end just there for him. He wanted to go beyond that. He wanted to pursue that relationship with Jesus Christ. He wanted to know Him in a real and personal way in his life. He desired to have a relationship that went beyond the superficial. He wanted to know Christ in a deeper and more profound way. He wasn't interested in just communing with Christ on special occasions. It wasn't a once in a while kind of relationship with Him. No, it was a daily pursuit in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was daily communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He cared deeply for this relationship that he had with the Lord. He didn't desire just that once in a while type of relationship. He didn't desire just to know some facts about the Lord. He wanted to know some deeper things that only comes as a result of real experience with walking with the Lord. He wanted a personal daily type of relationship with Christ. For Paul, the greatest relationship he had in life was this one. The truth is, you and I have many wonderful and good, important relationships in our life. My wife and I, for example, that's a wonderful relationship between her and I. My children, important relationships. But the greatest relationship I have in my life is not with my wife. It's not with my children. Though I cherish those relationships, the greatest relationship I have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is stressing the importance of that being the most important relationship in our lives. To know Him, to know Christ, should be one of, if not the highest, of our desires. We must go beyond the superficial and desire a deeper and more profound relationship with Him. We must not forget that salvation is not the only thing that we gained when we met Jesus Christ. We gained something more that goes beyond just the act of salvation. We received a very special and very important relationship, a relationship, by the way, that should define us. A relationship that should change us, change how we think, change how we behave, change our thought patterns, and so many other things this morning. It is a relationship that should define us. If you're at work, you should be known. I should be known. I am at work nowadays. I'm working for my brother, who's actually our pastor. I'm working at a sawmill doing maintenance work and stuff. Every man on that job should know that there is something different about Aaron Hiltabiddle. Right. Not that Aaron Hiltabiddle is a great person or something great about him. They ought to know that I'm a Christian. They ought to know it because this relationship with Christ should define it, should define my life. Others ought to be able to see Christ in us and the difference that Christ makes in us. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, is stressing how important that relationship was to him. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He goes on to speak a little bit about this relationship and from a different aspect. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we'll read verses 14 and 15. The Bible says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And there's a lot right there in that verse, just right in that statement there alone. We don't have time to unpack. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, or we've determined, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." This relationship was so profound to him that after receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, after gaining this relationship, it became his pursuit. This person, Jesus Christ, became his pursuit in his life. Paul states in these verses that his personal life is not about him. It's about somebody else. He had determined, he had thus judged, he had come to the realization that if one died for all, Jesus Christ dying for all the world, that those that live through Christ should not live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. His life was not his to live however he wanted to. He was living for a person. He was living for Jesus Christ. Paul cherished this relationship and desired for it to continually grow through intimate knowledge and experience. Now, go back in Philippians chapter number 3, in verse number 10. Again, that I may know Him is the statement the Apostle Paul makes, showing us his personal desire in this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This to know means simply to come to know, to come to recognize, or to fully understand, or to completely understand. Paul is saying that I may be fully acquainted with Him, His nature, His character, His work, to know or to understand fully even the smallest of intimate details of who Jesus is. His desire is to gain more knowledge of Christ, knowledge that can only be obtained by walking with Him. I said it already and I'll say it a little bit again. The Apostle Paul wasn't interested in just some general knowledge about Christ. He wasn't interested in just having some factual knowledge that he could spout out and say, I know this about Jesus, or I know this about God, or I know this about the Scripture. He wanted it to be personal. He wanted it to be real. He wanted to know who Christ really is beyond just some general, specific knowledge. He wanted to know Christ in a way that only real experience could teach him. Real knowledge that comes by a personal walk with the Lord. He desires to experience Christ more and more. When I read that I may know Him, what comes to my mind is that I may know Him more. That's what I read. That's what comes to my heart and in my mind. That I may know Him more. That I might know Him better. That I might experience the Lord Jesus Christ at work in my life more and more. That I'm getting to know more and more of those intimate details of who Jesus is. Who He is to me. Who He is in the world. Who He is in the Scriptures and so on and so forth. That we make it real to ourselves. The Apostle Paul desired to know Christ more and more in every aspect of his life. Alright? He wanted to be so close to the Lord that that relationship would define him, change him, impact him to the place where he would become more like Jesus Christ. That's how close he wanted that relationship to be. In verse number 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul mentions that he's pressing towards a distant mark. Just as a runner, as he's beginning, he prepares and he's looking out at the, he's right there at the start line, he's looking out, he has a specific goal, a specific place he's going to run or attain or reach to. Excuse me, the Apostle Paul is saying there's a specific mark, there's a specific goal, there's a specific place he's trying to reach to. And even though in verse number 12 he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. He has a specific mark, a specific goal he is trying to reach, and that is Christ-likeness. If I might put it this way, that mark in verse number 14 that he's referring to is Christ. Yes, it's Christ-likeness, but I could make an argument that it is Christ himself. Yeah, right. Paul says in verse number 10, he wants to become so close to Christ that he becomes more like him every day. He wants to experience the change the power of his resurrection will have in his life. He wishes to be worthy to suffer and even to die as Jesus Christ. He wanted to know every aspect of Jesus Christ in his own personal life. You know, not many today are willing to suffer. Not many are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, but Paul counted it worthy to suffer and even to die like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the point I'm trying to make is this, and I'll move on. I know some of us are probably hungry and we're thinking about the barbecue and whatnot. I'll try to move on. The point I'm trying to drive at this morning is this. Paul wanted to experience more of Christ at work in his life each and every day, through every experience, through everything that happened in his life. He looked at every thing and said, how can I know Christ more through this experience, through this in my personal life? This was to be a relationship that would define who he would become. This morning, I just simply want to ask, what is our desire in this relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we love the Lord this way? Do we desire to have that of an intimate relationship with the Lord that the Apostle Paul had? Do we desire, I should say, is it our desire that I personally, you fill in your name, that Aaron Hiltabiddle would know him more, would experience him more in my life each and every day, learning more about who God is, who the Lord is to me personally, and so forth. Is that our desire? Is it our pursuit each and every day to have more of an intimate knowledge of who Jesus is? Let me say, it's worth it. Yeah. It's worth it, folks. Yeah. It ought to be our desire to experience him more in our lives, at home, in our family. We can experience more of who God is in our family, folks. We can experience more of who God is at work each day. I don't care how monotonous your job may seem, there are things that are going on each and every day at work that we can learn more about who Jesus is in our lives through even the monotonous things of life. To experience him more through the trials and testings that come our way, through suffering, through physical problems, we can learn more of who God is in our lives through those. You say, how do you know that? The Apostle Paul said it. What did the Apostle Paul learn about the grace of God in physical problems? He said, thrice have I called on God and asked him to remove this problem in my life. And what was the Lord's response to him? My grace is sufficient for thee.
Right.
Even in his physical problems, he learned more of the grace of God in his life. No matter what it is, that's I guess what I'm trying to get at this morning. No matter what it is, no matter what we face in life, whether it's through problems or trials, testings, physical problems, family problems, church problems, whatever it is, whatever we are going through, whatever we are experiencing, we can learn more of who Christ is in our lives. It ought to be our desire. Let me say this about the Christian life. Our pursuit should be Jesus Christ. Should be this relationship. Not just what Christ can do for us, but what Christ is in our lives. Who he is. He is not a means to an end. Let me put it that way this morning. He should be the end. He should be the mark. Our relationship with him should be of the utmost importance in our lives. Some relationships are good and they're helpful. They're positive, right? We know, especially with teenagers, you know, I stress every once in a while, if I get a chance to preach to the teenagers or whatever, I stress how important relationships are in life. Because I see some young people here this morning, the relationships that you have right now with others will define who you will become. Relationships have a profound impact over our lives. Some good, some not so good. But let me say this. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ will have the most profound and the most positive impact over our lives if we will just walk with him. He will always have an impact, I should say, for the better in your life and in mine. And I hope this morning that's our desire to have such a relationship with Christ that we are becoming more like him. Yeah. That we allow, let me put it this way, that we allow that relationship with Jesus Christ to be the most influential relationship in your life and in mine. I was preaching with the kids in children's church a month or so ago. And I used an illustration about this thing with relationships and friends and so forth. When I was in the eighth grade, I mean, me and this other kid, we were inseparable. I mean, we spent all of our free time with each other and so on and so forth. And I was sharing with them the impact that relationship had over me, not in a positive way. But let me say, the relationship with Jesus Christ will always make you better. I mean, that's just as simple as I possibly can put it. Christ will never lead us astray. Christ will never lead us in the wrong direction. It has to be the most influential relationship in your life. yes, your wife or your husband, that's important, your family, your children, so on and so forth. The Apostle Paul is just simply stating, our pursuit must be this relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say this about all that other stuff. If our relationship is right with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're pursuing that relationship and we are growing in that relationship and we are coming to know Him more and more and better, every other relationship in your life will grow and develop as it's supposed to. If we take care of the first, everything else will be what it ought to be. I'll say that about that and I'll finish. Apostle Paul is stressing the importance of the relationship between Him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning in closing, do you have that relationship? Do you know Christ personally as your Savior? Do you have a real and personal relationship with the Lord this morning? Then let me ask you this, and we're through. How important is that relationship? How important? What are we spending our time with throughout the week? What are we doing? How much time are we spending with God day after day? Week after week. How important is this relationship to you personally? The Apostle Paul is saying one important thing above all things in his life was that relationship. How important is it to us this morning? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we come before You. I thank You for the opportunity to be here once again with Old Paths Baptist Church, to be able to open Your Word, to be able to look at how important this relationship is between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here that doesn't have that relationship. They don't have the assurance of a home in heaven. They don't have the assurance that Jesus is their personal Savior. I pray, God, even though the heart of the message was not on the gospel and on the need of the sinner, and so forth. But I pray, God, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may they sense and see their need for Him and this relationship. For those of us who've already taken care of that, we know that we are saved. We have it settled. We have the assurance. The question I wish to convey this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convey to every heart and every life, is how important is that relationship. It is the most important one in our lives, but do we treat it that way? How influential are we allowing this relationship to be? Are we allowing it to define us, to shape us, and to mold us into what we are supposed to be? I pray, God, that right now that You would have Your will and way done in every heart and every life. Help us to understand how important it is to know Him more, to know Him better, to grow in this relationship, to understand more of who Jesus is in our lives through everything that happens. I pray, God, You'd help us this morning to be mindful of how important this relationship is. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as pastor comes and the piano begins to play, if the Lord is working on your heart about something between you and Him this morning, between you and this relationship, if there's anything this morning that's hindering that relationship, may we take this moment, this opportunity to get it right with the Lord as pastor comes.